And I would just reiterate that we were deeply disturbed by the audio, which we heard on Friday, which we heard on Thursday. And that's why he's not with the organization at this point. And we would expect that'll be the case until we have a chance to work our way through whatever information we're able to get.
Is this a permanent decision?
No, I'm going to leave it where Brett left it when he spoke to you guys Thursday evening. He's not with the organization for the foreseeable future.
What is that process? You said work your way through the information. What is that process?
You know, I'm not going to be able to go into that. There are a couple of ongoing investigations related to Tyreek, and we're going to have to let that process play out.
How difficult is this to watch one of your players go through this and for the franchise to go through this?
I think, again, I would just leave it with Brett's statement on Thursday evening. It obviously is a tough situation for the organization, and we wish the best for his family.
Owner Clark Hunt of the Chiefs coming about the Tyreek Hill situation. Matthew Derrick joins us at Chiefs Digest to talk Chiefs here today on the Sports Ticket. Matt, just your regular, average, normal, boring offseason, right?
Yeah, I mean, you like to be talking about football, but with the Tyreek Hill situation, obviously there have been some other things going on with this organization.
Well, let's talk about Tyreek Hill, and we'll get it out of the way, and then we can talk about some other things. We've been talking about this all week long, and I'm sure in last week too, and many sports talk shows have, certainly when you follow the Chiefs. And let me ask you this. Who do you believe, or if you know, who is the driving force behind these questionable character draft picks or trades that the Chiefs make? Is it Clark Hunt? Is it Andy Reid? Is it Brett Veach?
I'm not sure that you can really pin it on any one specific person. At some point, maybe you even just ask the question if the Chiefs have bad luck, because this goes beyond Andy Reid. I mean, Larry Johnson had problems. Obviously, the Chiefs had one of the most devastating issues with domestic violence with the Javon Belcher incident of any NFL team. But there is a prevalence with it with the NFL. I mean, it seems like every team has these issues. Maybe the Chiefs have, it seems like, more of them than they should. Whether that's just bad luck and with a couple of cases. But at the same time, I mean, they took a chance with Tyreek Hill. They knew the situation. Every NFL team passed on him a few times in the 2016 draft, and there were probably a few teams that wouldn't have taken him. And that's true with a lot of players coming in. There's players in college who have some incidents in their past, and there are some teams who won't touch them, and there's teams that will give them a chance. So I don't know if there's any one specific person, because, the issues that the Chiefs have had over the past decade, it varies. Now, the one common denominator, obviously, is Clark Hunt. But Clark has continued to vocalize that he wants his players to be contributors to the community. He wants his team to vet players to the best they can. So I don't know. I think it's really difficult to pin it on a specific person or say that this organization has a culture problem. Maybe it's just simply that they do have a willingness to give players a second chance and have been burned a few times.
Do you think Clark Hunt should be more front and center, especially with the stuff with Tyreek Hill, instead of Andy Reid and Brett Veach really basically answering all the questions? And I know Clark typically is more of kind of off, he's kind of in the background. And I think there's pros to that. You don't want your owner meddling in everything, and you let your guys do their job. But, I've heard things, and I don't know if it's true or not, but, Marcus Peters, eventually the Chiefs got tired of him and they traded him away. And rumor was, and maybe you can confirm or whatever about this, that Clark Hunt got to the point where he just wasn't really a big fan of that anymore. And the Chiefs took a chance on Marcus Peters. He was kicked off his college team, and it didn't really work out long term. Short term, he had a couple of good years with the Chiefs, certainly. Kareem Hunt, there were a few flags with Kareem Hunt, but the Chiefs took him. In the end, that didn't work out. And then Tyreek Hill, that was about as obvious as you could ever see in the world in regards to teams weren't even going to draft him. That's how far they wanted to stay away from him. He was toxic. Now, maybe they would have signed him as an undrafted free agent and feel a little bit better not expending a draft pick on it. But when you look at Clark Hunt and the way the organization is structured, do you think he needs to be a little bit more front and center when it comes to situations like this that affect the community so much?
I think it would benefit him to do so. I think it would certainly help the fans to a better understanding of the organization, what their objective is, what their mission is, where they stand, and how they feel about certain things. At the same time, you know, Clark Hunt, I think, is a bit more open than maybe the average NFL owner. There are some NFL owners who just simply do not engage with the media and the fans at all. And I feel like Clark, like I said, it may be just a little bit above average when it comes to that kind of thing. He certainly did not have to make an appearance with the media on Saturday and answer a few questions. Not that he spoke about the Tyreek Hill matter in depth or any detail or anything. But I think fans like and want accountability. They want the leaders of their team to come forward and tell them when they've done something wrong, or they've made a misjudgment, or they've made a mistake. And I think the Chiefs sometimes don't do that. I mean, how this plays out and what gets said at the end of the day, there's going to be questions, because you know it was Andy Reid and John Dorsey who sat there on draft day in 2016 and said, "Trust us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did our homework on this guy." And if Tyreek Hill is dismissed from the team or charged with a crime, that has got to be answered. I mean, it's going to have to be asked the question, you know, did you let the Kansas City community down, Chiefs fans down, by taking a chance?
Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Do you believe Clark Hunt has the guts or the kahunas to veto a move that Andy Reid really, really wants, whether it be the Frank Clark trade or obviously going after and drafting Tyreek Hill? Do you think, because I certainly know Clark Hunt thinks the world of Andy Reid, and you consider where the Chiefs organization was before they hired Andy Reid. They were 2-14. He instantly made them respectable. They started 9-0 the next year. They made the playoffs almost every year since he's been there. They've won the division title 3 years in a row, and now they've got maybe the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes, and they, you know, were wise to trade up and get him at pick 10 a couple years ago. Do you think that Clark Hunt, I know he thinks the world of Andy Reid, do you think he has the guts to say, if Andy's really for a player and he really wants to bring him in or take a chance on him, do you think Clark has the guts to say, "I'm sorry, Andy, that's not happening this time"?
Yeah, I think he does. It's just a question of, you know, what is that bridge too far?
Yeah.
And this could be, you know, that's certainly something that I think you could speculate about, whether or not that's going to be changing with Clark Hunt and his willingness maybe to go along with some things. Now, obviously, he signed off on the Frank Clark acquisition, and the Chiefs are pretty adamant that they feel like that he's a different person than he was when he had incidents in college, and maybe they'll be proven out to be true. He was relatively incident-free in Seattle. He had some skirmishes maybe with reporters, you know, of a verbal nature, but, you know, nothing physical or anything like that. So, you know, does Clark have the willingness to tell Andy Reid no if he disagrees with him? Yeah, I think he does. But at the same time, Clark wants to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And that's the first and foremost goal. And if he's also willing to listen to his people. So if Andy Reid and Brett Veach say, "We think this is the player that we need to help us win a Super Bowl," he'll listen.
I think Clark Hunt's kind of in a catch-22 a little bit, because the Chiefs haven't been to a Super Bowl in nearly 50 years. The Chiefs' kingdom, you know, is tired of it. It's great. We go 13-3, get home field advantage, can't make the Super Bowl. But I think sometimes, and I think we saw this with Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson there for a spell towards the end, where they got a little desperate and they brought in some, you know, highly questionable guys of character, and it absolutely exploded. And I'm not saying that the Chiefs are in that situation now. I think the Frank Clark thing really has me torn, and I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, this whole Tyreek Hill situation, I know Frank Clark's a really good player, don't get me wrong, and I know the Chiefs need to improve on defense, but reports out of Seattle and some people that have covered the Seahawks have actually said on radio interviews that the Seahawks, the reason that, and they had the money, they could have kept Frank Clark. He's only 25, going to be 26 very soon. The Seahawks decided that he was not worth the risk of giving him that much money. They were worried if they give him too much money, they would have problems. So there's an organization that knows Frank Clark more than likely much better than the Chiefs. They weren't willing to give Frank Clark the big money. They traded him away, not at the age of 30, at the age of 25. The Chiefs are so close to a Super Bowl. The fans say it all the time. When are we ever going to make the Super Bowl? it sometimes feels to me like we are getting to a point, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope Frank Clark works out great because he's a great story. He was homeless at one point. I hope he's learned from his mistakes. But if this doesn't work out, if this Frank Clark thing doesn't work out and he has an incident, it really goes back to people going to say, listen, you were all about winning at all costs, no matter the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if something were to happen, absolutely, I think that would be the takeaway that more and more people would have. I know some people are already at that spot. Mm-hmm. It's a minority, but there are certainly fans who out there who see the Chiefs as an organization that will do anything to win and are not as concerned about character. But the team will tell you differently. I mean, they'll tell you that they do their vetting, that they talk to people who are around players, to talk to coaches, anyone that they can get information from. And now, whether that vetting is always successful, whether it's the right kind of vetting, where they have the right people involved, whether they're with the right takeaways, because, you know, people can come away with different conclusions. You know, I can tell you that if Brett Veach were general manager of the Chiefs in 2015, they would not have taken Marcus Peters. There was a difference between what Veach and John Dorsey thought about Marcus Peters. And that's going to happen. I mean, when you're vetting players, there's going to be people who come to different conclusions. And it's tough with a player like Frank Clark, because he did have several incidents in college that would be red flags. But as we discussed, I mean, you know, 4 years in Seattle, have been, as far as any criminal incidents, have been completely, you know, free. So, you know, what point do you put away those concerns?
Right.
And for the Chiefs, you know, they feel like they've done their homework, and they've set those concerns aside.
Do you think Tyreek Hill has played his last snap as a Kansas City Chief? Do you think there's any way Tyreek Hill is on this football team opening day?
I think it's hard to see him coming back from this with the Chiefs. You know, the NFL is a league for second chances, and Andy Reid's been pretty big with that. Obviously, he gave a second chance to Tyreek Hill coming out of college. But one thing that's pretty common among us, the NFL teams, is that you don't normally get a second chance from the same team. It's usually another organization that's willing to take the chance. And that's been true with Andy Reid. He's given a lot of players second chance, but he hasn't given them a second chance with him. And that's the kind of the nature of the NFL. So I think it's very difficult for him to come back. If he's charged with a crime, he's likely played his last NFL game. But I think it would be very difficult for the organization to move forward with him at this point. I think they're being cautious. They're doing their due diligence. They feel a little bit of heartburn over the way that they handled the Kareem Hunt incident, with letting go of him so quickly and then seeing him get the suspension and then ending up with the Browns. Because, you know, they look at it now and say, maybe we should have waited, let him sit on the commissioner's exempt list, let the process play out, and then if a team wanted him, hey, maybe we get a draft pick for him, rather than, you know, letting an all-pro player walk out of the organization with no compensation. So they're letting it play out, and let's be completely fair, too. You know, at this point, there are allegations against Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And as disturbing as the audio was, he insists in the audio clips that we've heard that he didn't do anything wrong. So there's still a lot of moving parts to this before we get to the end of it.
Matthew Derrick, our guest today at Chiefs Digest here on the Sports Ticket. I'm glad you brought up the Kareem Hunt situation, because I was really surprised how quickly the Chiefs cut bait with Kareem Hunt. And then they mentioned the biggest reason was he lied to them, wasn't truthful. But I thought that's how the Chiefs would handle it, because that's how most NFL teams would handle that situation with Kareem Hunt. I know there's video, but they could have let that play out. And now they are in this situation, but thus you create an inconsistency. And I understand where people come in their train of thought, although it makes sense what you said, is that, well, maybe they learned that not move so quickly and let this thing play out, and they wish they did with Kareem Hunt a little further. But when you are someone on the outside looking in and you say, okay, what Kareem Hunt did wasn't great, don't condone it, but the things with Tyreek Hill were much worse before he was even drafted. Chiefs took a chance on him, and now we've got problems with Tyreek Hill now off the field and distractions and it coming up during the draft and everything else, that – okay, now the Chiefs don't cut bait with Tyreek Hill, but they cut bait quickly with Kareem Hunt. It kind of set a bit of a precedent, I think, for some people. Like, was Tyreek Hill more important? But there's also the part of this equation that needs to be brought up. Kareem Hunt happened during the season. Tyreek Hill is in the offseason. And thus, the NFL, who moved quickly in the Kareem Hunt situation, as did the Chiefs, the Chiefs and NFL don't have to move as quickly on this one, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, you do have that luxury, and you know, and technically speaking, the NFL's exempt list doesn't exist during the offseason when you have 90-man rosters.
Okay.
There has been some conjecture that the NFL is considering setting aside that rule, and they may put Hill on the exempt list as the investigation continues. But you know, you hit on it earlier. Really, the primary difference between the two cases is that Kareem Hunt told the Chiefs his version of events that happened in a hotel in Cleveland, and then the security video comes out showing that he didn't tell the truth, that he misled them. And that particularly bothered Clark Hunt. It bothered Andy Reid. And that made it easier for them to make that decision. And you're right. I mean, because it was in the middle of the season, it certainly made things, I think, easier for the team to make a quick decision, because they thought they were a Super Bowl team, and they couldn't let a issue like that linger. And they knew that Kareem Hunt wasn't going to play the rest of the year anyway. And they probably weren't going to be re-signing him at the end of his contract. So, you know, it made those things easier. With Tyreek, you know, this is a player who 3 months ago, it was almost considered a slam dunk that the Chiefs would be giving him a long-term extension and probably making him one of the highest-paid receivers in the NFL. And now that's completely off the table. But if there were, I think if the situation were similar, if the Chiefs had felt that Tyreek Hill had lied and misled them, then I think they would have already made a move, and that certainly may be where they end up. But at this point, I don't think that the Chiefs, at least from the indications I've received, that they feel like they're in a similar spot yet with Tyreek.
It's a complicated situation because it's not a great home life, as we know, for the 3-year-old, and then his fiance is pregnant with twins on top of all that. And then she, from a 911 call, was reportedly passed out while watching the 3-year-old. That was the newest information. Came out last night there in Kansas City. So we'll continue to cover the story. Matthew Derrick, Chiefs Digest, is with us. So let's go back to Frank Clark. Let's talk about on the football field. Let's move on to actually talking football, which I know we want to do. The impact of Frank Clark on this defense. You let Dee Ford go. You get a second-round draft pick. You don't pay him $87 million. You don't have to pay him $16 million on a franchise tag. You get Frank Clark. You give him $63 million guaranteed. He's going to turn 26 here pretty soon. He seems to be a guy that's certainly a much better player than Dee Ford in regards to a more complete player. Describe the impact of what you think Frank Clark will have in this new defensive system in the 4-3 and why he was so important for the Chiefs to acquire for this year's defense.
Well, you're right. I mean, he's a better fit for the 4-3 and what the new defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo wants to do than either Dee Ford or Justin Houston were. Not that they aren't good players. They're not continuing to be good players at this point in their careers. But Frank Clark is at this point really special. I mean, he's kind of what Justin Houston was 5 years ago. I mean, that's what you're hoping that you get here. He's a disruptive force. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He gets a lot of attention. You have to pay him attention. You have to consider giving him double teams a lot as an offense facing him. He's a good run defender as well, setting the edge. He's an all around player as a defensive end and a 4-3, and it's a perfect fit for what they want to do. And they circled this pretty quickly. They knew that they wanted to go out and get an impact player for that position. And it was really just going to depend on, what other teams did. They were looking at Frank Clark, looking at Jadeveon Clowney, and both those players ended up getting the franchise tag. And at that point, it's really just determining, which player do you want to go out and try and get, and how much resources are you willing to give up. And by their accounts, Clark was the guy that they were willing to overpay for. And that's what you got to do. I mean, if you want to acquire another team's talent, you got to overpay. That's just the nature of the game. You're going to have to give them more money. You're going to have to give more draft picks. And it's much more expensive than signing your own guy and trying to keep them. So, they made it. I mean, this is the highest paid guy in franchise history now. I mean, that's what kind of money he's making. The Chiefs have now plowed, more than $170 million in contracts this offseason into that defense. And everything that they've done has been trying to get guys that fit their specific roles. They're not trying to shove round pegs in the square holes like I think they have been doing the last few seasons.
I personally like what they've done this offseason. I liked what they did before the Clark trade, and had they not made the trade, I still liked what they had done. It certainly is a gamble when you give a guy that much money, but he is in his prime and gave up a few draft picks too. But when you look at the Chiefs' moves this offseason, especially on the defensive side of the ball, what's one of the moves they made that maybe we're sleeping on that was really maybe a better move than people are giving them credit for?
Yeah, I think that obviously the two best moves that they've made have been, you know, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, because those are the guys that are most likely to be leaders on your team. And maybe even the Mathieu acquisition makes it gets overshadowed a little bit by Frank Clark. Probably, to me, if you look for one that's maybe overshadowed a bit, it might be Alex Okafor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a veteran presence that they're bringing in there, and he's not flashy. He's not going to go out and throw up 15 sacks or anything like that. But he's just simply a veteran professional who does everything right. And that, I think, is a great influence to have around a Breland Speaks who you're trying to bring along. He is more experienced in the 4-3 than anyone else that they've got on that team. So he can be a leader on the defensive group, hopefully help out your young guys that are playing alongside him, like a Derek Nnadi. Now you've got Colin Saunders, who's coming in. This looks like a really, high-end potential guy on the defensive line. And I think having an Alex Okafor is a great influence to have in that group.
What were your overall thoughts of the draft? Chiefs didn't have a ton of picks. They traded up and got a Tyreek Hill clone in regards to on the field. Tons of speed, a good returner. You mentioned Saunders that they got there in the third round. I like the pick of Thornhill for Virginia. And one thing I really like about what the Chiefs have done this offseason, Mathieu, and I'd like to see if you agree, is that, under Bob Sutton, we always ask, why is Marcus Peters always on the same side of the field all the time? Why is this rusher usually always on this side? Steve Spagnuolo is going to move guys around. And I like the fact that the Chiefs have gone out and got versatility. Tyrann Mathieu can line up 7-8 different positions on defense. One time he had a snap at defensive tackle, for crying out loud. I like that because I think the opposing quarterback, no matter how smart he is, if you don't become predictable, and I think the Chiefs certainly did under Bob Sutton, and I wish they would have moved on from him a year sooner, and we were calling for it. They didn't. I hope it doesn't come back to bite the Chiefs. But now they've learned their lesson. They have the new DC in place. But guys that can do multiple things give you a lot more options as a defensive coordinator, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. And the thing about Thornhill, that as versatile as he is, I think the real key is that he's better on the deep end than he is up closer to the line. And that's not true for really any other safety that the Chiefs have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of their guys, they have played different positions and they do move around, but almost all of them, their strengths are closer to the line of scrimmage. I mean, they're more strong safety types and the box kind of safeties. Thornhill has really good instincts. He's got decent speed, so he's got good range. He's better suited to be that center field free safety than anybody else they have on the roster right now. So pairing him with Tyrann Mathieu, if he can win that starting job, I think it's a pretty good promising sign because, the Chiefs have some veteran safeties. They still have Daniel Sorensen. They got Jordan Lucas, who's shown a lot of upside. Armani Watts, who they really liked last season. But if Thornhill can come in and win that number two spot, I think it's going to show that he's got the skills to play that back end position, and it should be a really good pairing with him and Mathieu. I thought the Chiefs might target cornerback a little bit earlier and maybe a bit more often because that's still a position of. To me, is probably the most concerning position in the defense right now. But Rashad Fenton has got a lot of upside that could really be promising. And like I said, Colin Saunders is just a physical beast. I mean, look at what he did at a lower level at Western Illinois, so lesser competition, but he absolutely dominated that competition.
What about Darwin Thompson? I've been hearing some things. He could be a sleeper pick. The Chiefs, they have Damian Williams, but, of course, he wasn't a full season. He's had some injuries in the past. Carlos Hyde picked up in the offseason, and we talked about how there's probably an opening for that third running back spot. This Darwin Thompson kid seems to be promising.
Yeah, the word you hear from everybody about him is thick, because he's apparently just like a tree. He's a little guy. I mean, he's 5'8", but he's 200 pounds. and it is all muscle. I mean, he looks like a bodybuilder. So he is intriguing. I mean, and he showed an ability to make guys miss in college. He's got really good contact balance, so he doesn't go down at the first hit. The biggest question is at 5'8", you know, is can he be the kind of guy that can be a feature back and every down running back? But he's shown us some potential to be maybe a gadget guy, a good guy out of the backfield that can create some mismatches when lined up on a linebacker. So he's the kind of player that you could see Andy Reid being creative with and really maybe getting some use out of maybe, you know, 5 to 10 snaps a game.
I want to go over this before we hit a couple nuggets, and then we'll get to off-the-wall question. Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So much focus on the defense, and the defense should be better. Can't be much worse than it was last year statistically. I think it'll be better. You got some playmakers, certainly. But are we overlooking the offensive side of the ball? Because Kareem Hunt, you will not have for an entire season. Last year, he did play a portion of the season. You may not have Tyreek Hill for the entire season or at all ever again. Travis Kelce gets banged up from time to time. And he, I think, his years in his prime, he's getting close to maybe becoming a declining player. He's not there yet, but at some point he might just drop off the shelf. He's had a few concussions. Sammy Watkins, great athlete, but we know he's injury prone. And then you have the questions at running back, durability with Hyde. And, of course, we mentioned Williams. And the offensive line is going to have a new center. Are we just automatically saying Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to do what he did no matter what and who's around him? Because it seems like I think many Chiefs fans just brush off the offense. Well, we don't need to do anything on offense. We're good. We got to put all our picks in the defense. The defense is better, but couldn't we make an argument the offense is going to drop off? I don't know how much is considerably, but considering that they might be without a couple of weapons?
Yeah, I think you can absolutely make that case. Remember last year when the Chiefs had Kareem Hunt, they were all running on all cylinders. Sammy Watkins was healthy. They were averaging over 7 yards per play, and that would have put them in the upper. I mean, that would have been NFL record. I mean, no team has done that since before 1950. It was historic. After they lost Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins gets hurt. They averaged closer to 6.5 yards a play. That's still really good. It's going to make you one of the best offenses in the league. But, you know, what really got them going last year was that they were historically great. Now, you know, you look at the prospect of possibly, you know, taking Tyreek Hill out of that equation, and you get Mecole Hardman, the draft pick, but he's not Tyreek Hill right now. No. I mean, he can do a few of the things that Tyreek did when he was a rookie, but he can't do what Tyreek Hill did in year three. So, you know, I think you got some concerns there. I think you do have concerns at tight end because, as you mentioned, you know, hey, Travis Kelce, second most yards in NFL history last year by a tight end. There's a reasonable chance that he hit his peak. He can still be a really good player, but he may never be better than he was last year. And there's no one behind him. I mean, yeah. The depth there is thin. If something were to happen to Kelce, go back and look at the playoff game against the Titans two seasons ago. That offense absolutely fell apart in the second half without Travis Kelce out there. And they really don't have that next guy. And that's the position I know that the Chiefs were targeting in the draft and were hoping to come away with a tight end. And I was really surprised that they didn't get one out of there. Offensive line, I think that they're going to be pretty good. Losing Mitch Morris will certainly hurt them in pass protection. He's one of the best in the league at that. They've got some young guys that they truly believe in. But at the heart, that offense runs around Patrick Mahomes. And as long as you have him, I think you're always going to have a really good offense. The question is, you know, whether it'd be good enough to overcome having the 31st ranked total defense in the league like they had last year. Not sure you could do that again this year.
Yeah, and then what happens for Kelce if you don't have Tyreek Hill stretching the field, and then you could double him a little bit easier, and that could make it more difficult for Mahomes to find probably his favorite target in that instance. Jamaal Charles is going to retire as a Chief. Signing a one-day contract, retires Chief. That's great to see. You report on Chiefs Digest. Spencer Ware is going to the Indianapolis Colts as a free agent. And Brian Waters is going to be inducted in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. Anything you want to add about those three little things?
Yeah, you know, the Brian Waters addition is really great. You know, he was part of some fantastic offensive lines there for the Chiefs, maybe one of the greatest offensive lines in history. Spencer Ware, I think you got to be happy to see him, you know, find a job and land on his feet. I know he was disappointed not to be coming back to Kansas City. Probably got a better deal with the Colts than he could have gotten in KC. But he's one of the guys that's easy to root for. He's gone through a lot. He's been through a lot of challenges. So I think you got to be happy for him. And Jamaal Charles, I mean, I'm not sure there's been anybody better in a Chiefs uniform in the backfield. Some of the things that he did were just absolutely fantastic. And it's good to see that if he comes back here to sign the one-day contract and retire, it's great to see that, you know, there's no hard feelings from when the two sides parted or what parted with company, and that he can come back and hopefully be, you know, an ambassador for this team, because they could certainly use, you know, someone like Jamaal Charles being a face of this organization in the community and off the field.
Absolutely. All right, time for Off the Wall Question. Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest is our guest today on the Sports Ticket. The Big Bang Theory, have you ever watched that show?
I have.
Okay, I love it. I think it's a great show. It's in its final season. They're going to have the series finale coming up, I think, in a few weeks, which leads me to the Off the Wall Question. What's your favorite TV sitcom? What was your favorite over the years?
Oh, I've got so many, and the ones that I watch, you know, over and over again, there's a lot of them. I mean, Seinfeld, probably my favorite is the short-lived, just two seasons, but fantastic Sports Night, Aaron Sorkin. I wish that show had gone for 10 years.
I never saw that one. I'm going to have to look that up and watch it. I did not see that one. That was really good, huh?
It was excellent. One of the best shows I've ever seen.
And they just didn't have enough Matthew Derricks watching it, apparently, right?
You just never know what happens sometimes.
That is always frustrating. We watch a show and you really like it and you get hooked on it, and then, boom, they pull the plug on it. That's always frustrating. Let everybody know what you're working on and where they can read your work. You do a wonderful job, and you've certainly been a lot busier in the off season than you probably anticipated.
Yeah, unfortunately, it has been kind of crazy lately, so hopefully with the start of rookie minicamp this weekend and getting to see the draft picks and the undrafted free agents coming in, we'll be able to get back to football. Actually working on a story today. It'll be up on the site this weekend, a profile about Nick Allegretti, the seventh-round pick. Really interesting guy. I think he's going to be a fan favorite and really overlooked guy. This is somebody that they think can be a multi-position player inside and could certainly be a starter one day, whether it's center or guard. He's absolutely got the potential.
Well, I look forward to reading that. You do a great job. As always, we appreciate your time. And next time we have you on, hopefully we'll talk more football instead of off-the-field issues. Matthew, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the offseason.
Sounds good, Wade. We can't wait to talk to you again.
Take care. Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.